This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
You got that right, and both of us are still coming down after the big Ed Sheeran experience. We'll discuss our night.
We had
and a whole
huge
lot
one.
More.
We had a huge one. We've got an amazing show today, really.
So many great guests.
Packed to the rafters. We're going to talk to the winner of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of This Stupid Jungle, Fiona O'Loughlin.
Warming up, I can see them through the glass as we speak. It's Jet!
Can you believe
recently
that?
Recently reformed, bang, on here today. They're going to perform live. I cannot wait. It's going to be good, and we'll have a chat to the lads as well.
I'll tell you who I'm looking forward to talking to, Mickey.
Who?
Charlie Pickering.
He's a very special guest. He's a great fella. He knows a fair bit about most things. He's got a show up for the Comedy Festival. We'll talk all about that.
We're going to talk about schools.
More.
Schools have gone Burko.
Yeah.
A teacher cut someone's hair and it's gone bonkers.
What did your teacher do to you?
And we've got a few stories ourselves up our sleeve.
To give us a call, that much more. Big hello to all our Brisbane listeners. Hope you're going all right up there in Queensland with the floods. Terrible to hear. Peter Beattie, busted.
Yes, he doesn't know a few things that he probably should.
Should know better in the NRL. Okay, here we go. Are we up and running? Are we good to go?
We are.
Today's show, hello, David.
Hey,
how are you?
Great
Mick Molloy and the Stevie Nicks of the Inner East.
Oh, please. Whoa. Really? Is this
Jane
the room I'm going
Kennedy.
To be? But I don't mind being called that.
Well, you are.
Well,
you
it's
are.
A big call. The bar's pretty high.
That's from Dan Warner, of course, who was one of the brains behind Highly Strung, who's agreed to reform.
Well, hang on. I'll break that exclusive.
You are going to
Well, I only just really confirmed it with Dan today.
Well, how's this? Last night we're in Michael Gadiski's box at Ed Sheeran. He bursts in the door. The first thing he asks is, "What's happening with Highly Strung? What are we doing with Highly Strung? Are we touring?
Oh,
are we on a support bill?
No pressure.
How do I get to? Who do I have to talk to at Highly Strung?
When you've got Frontier on board.
I know. Get ready, Dan. Look out.
And thank you, big fella. Thank you, Michael, for having me.
We had a lovely time,
your
didn't we?
In the box.
It I'll tell you what.
It was a load of fun.
We had a few
fun.
Drinks. Do you know at one stage you told me you had? Brain freeze. As a grown man, because why? Because he had an icy pool.
No, excuse me.
Oh, sorry. Alcohol
in it? It was a martini.
How cold was it?
It was a frozen martini.
Oh, right.
But I was complaining I had a brain freeze, but I kept drinking it even faster. And then you know what I was thinking? That's a good thing to do. You don't know whether you've got brain freeze or a hangover. It's the same feeling. I'm going, oh, I love this, but I couldn't stop drinking it.
You massacred that icy pole. Wooshka.
In that box, I knew exactly what it was like to be a 14 or 15-year-old girl, teenage girl, watching Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Because Trent Cotchin was in the box. Oh, my God.
All right.
The Richmond Premiership captain was in the
box.
For
anyone around Australia who might not know, Trent Cotchin is the captain of the
Richmond Football Club.
Premiership.
My club. And he was in there. And
he's
I was
a good
nervous.
Guy.
I didn't know whether to squeal or ask for his.
You did both.
Do you know what I did? I watched him like a hawk.
You did.
All night. He had three waters and an ice cream.
That poor guy.
Three waters. I'm going, where's he going now?
He was searing the back of his head, I think.
Three waters, had ice cream, and he was out a bit late.
Oh, not
I
too
thought,
bad.
Well, it was 10:30, he was still there.
Hey, isn't it interesting when we look at the crowd watching Ed Sheeran and you were commenting that the bar was kind of
so we were in the same box when we went to see Foo Fighters, and there's a bar right down the back on the ground level just in front of us. Had Foo Fighters, it was 100 metres long,
Dave. I remember.
And about 10 wide.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran. Two dads.
That's awesome.
Two dads
getting light beers.
Getting a couple of light beers because they're going to drive their daughters home.
That's right.
At the end of the gig. So I've worked it out, though. Look, whatever you think of Ed Sheeran, it's incredible to see one bloke with a guitar standing in front.
Extraordinary
the
show.
The audience love
they
him.
They really do.
I've put him in my top three ringers that I love. He goes to number one.
Yeah.
Prince Harry to number three.
You are.
No, number two. Oh, he's the smoking orangutan in Indonesia. Have you seen him?
No.
Hey, he's a ripper.
Really?
He go to a zoo, he just chain smokes all those.
He's your kind of orangutan.
I think he smokes menthol.
Then he's my kind of
they
orangutan.
They need to get that guy on the patches.
You know what we're talking about, the songs? They were so, you know, as I was listening to them, they're such sweet songs. And I realised that guys write really beautiful, romantic.
You said this. You made a very good observation.
Songs. Songs and girls are still angry, and we hate men, and men are
you're
mother
effers. You're a liar. You're a cheater. You're a scumbag. You're a loser. You're a. Where's the guys? I just went over.
Well, speaking of that, so my girlfriend Pierre and I went, and we were getting into it.
There's a bit of a sing-along happening over there. Well,
hang on. Can we just play a little bit of a song that you might have joined in on? So honey, now. Remember this moment when we're happily listening? Take me into
your loving arms. Mickey!
Yes. Kiss me under the
light of a thousand stars. Give it a go. Place your head. Maggie!
Oh, yeah. See, Dave, I can't help honestly, it. I'm trying to listen. This is in my ear through the con.
It was a good night, Dave.
It was a great night. Thank you very much to Frontier and to
By the way, Ed's doing a bunch of shows around Australia. He's in Sydney on Thursday, then Brisbane, then over to New Zealand as well. So if you've got a ticket, you're in for a great show.
I reckon that'll all be sold out. Don't think. The other thing Gudinski said to you is he goes, that bloody Jimmy Kimmel, he's off my list.
Oh, he did.
Remember he came.
Yeah,
he's right
angry.
In your corner.
He's
he was
in my corner.
Sucking up for the highly strung. He really is.
Hey, we're available, Michael.
You are indeed. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Hey, guys, here's a story that won't go away involving our good friend Carl Stefanovic brother Peter and an alleged tape that's been... This is horrific.
But you'd feel... Wouldn't you just feel sick when that call came through? When Pete Stefanovic, who was in an Uber, it's been established...
So Pete was in the Uber. So yes. Just explain, a conversation between the brothers has been recorded by a cab driver.
Yes.
And he's now shopping it round town.
Oh, that's awful.
And it's believed to contain sensitive information.
Yes.
Of feelings from either guy, and other celebrities may have been named
and
as well.
Peter had it on speakerphone.
He's going to be in the tin, Peter.
He's in big trouble. Peter's, lucky they had the commitment ceremony on Sunday, he wouldn't be invited. There's a bit of a brotherly roughing up going on.
If I was Carl, I'd be going, mate, I'm no Einstein, but maybe.
Well, it's 101, isn't it? Rule 101.
Speakerphone. Ain't in a. You in a cab with a
Also, stranger. I've heard that Channel 9 have bought it.
Oh, no kidding.
What do you mean?
Well, I've heard that
it doesn't matter, does it?
It does, because they bought it, then it can't go out to any other outlet.
Of course.
Well, not unless a bootleg copy appears.
Well, I suppose. Well,
or
I
a transcript thereof, which
possibly,
would already...
But it is really, I mean, it's... I feel grubby. For them because it's disgusting and grubby, but that's the one thing you don't, you've just got to be aware when you're in a cab or an Uber, you just don't blab about, especially people you work with, you just don't do something like that.
Is that right, Jane?
Mm. Yes.
That's interesting. Well, it's interesting.
Well, I've said that before a lot.
It's interesting that you'd hold that view because a tape's come across my desk that.
It has not.
That's a little, I don't know, it's a little hard to listen to if you're, I don't know, say me. And you're being, Dave, you would be unaware of this, but there's a tape out there. It was recorded in an Uber, I believe. You were going home.
What do you mean?
Well, you've been recorded.
Well,
Well, I am going to play it.
I don't think you can.
It's a little hurtful. I don't know. Oh, you be the judge. Dave, have you got the tape there?
I'll press play. Let's have a listen.
Thank you. Have you got the address? You've got that in your...
Yeah.
Okay, great. Can you just... Yep, thank you. Okay. Hi, sorry if I got you.
Yeah.
Great. No, the show's gone well. It's great. It's just Mickey's just giving me the shits. It's like, Mick Malloy. He's just, I don't know, I'm just a big fat dick. He's a poor man's Matt Preston, honestly.
Oh, really?
Oh, I don't know. He's Don Burke, but more creepy. Do you know?
Wow.
I heard he punched a puppy in the face.
What?
I've had to pepper spray him twice. I mean, seriously, this man. You know he has herpes. Just don't go anywhere near him. Do not sit on the same chair.
Oh, my God.
He smells like urinal cakes. You should see his man boobs. They're absolute gazungas.
Oh, my God. I have no words.
Exactly. You're telling me. Who the am I working with?
How do you stand the plane?
Where's my water? Where's my coffee? I don't want this. Where are my twisties? Then he's whinging about his weight every 10 seconds. It's so boring.
I don't know how you do it.
I have been such a f***ing saint trying to work with this guy. I have to be patient. I have to be nice all the time. I've been so good. Hang on just a minute. Sorry, excuse me. Excuse me. No, left here. Do you understand? Left. Hello, do you speak English?
Okay.
Oh, my God, I'm surrounded by idiots.
I'm shaking right now. I'm shaking because...
You're shaking. I'm just broken.
You've got herpes.
Now that's out there.
You know that I'm joking. That's a joke, surely. Which, you know
I just don't know you anymore.
Stay far away from me.
You probably really liked me. All right. Well, that's... Okay. Look, you know, what do you say?
I don't know what to say about that. You have no words. That's a private conversation.
It's a violation of my...
No, I feel like Peter Stefanovic
You're the victim here,
are you? I'm the victim here. This is outrageous. Sorry, Jane. I'm going to look up that Uber driver. I'm going to get him reporting.
I think we should... Wherever he came from.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
We have Jet playing live on Kennedy Malloy in the next 10, 15 minutes. Stand by for that. Get Born, 15 years since that record. So I'll be playing something from that.
Still a little hurt.
Give us a smile. Come on. You love me. It's all right. I'm only joking.
I know. Somehow I just think it was all good natured.
It was. Definitely.
Hey, you've got a big story there.
It's about a school in Melbourne called Trinity Grammar.
This is a massive story. This is the biggest story. This was leading the national news all day today.
It's all over the newspapers around Australia. It's about the deputy headmaster, Rowan Brown, who was sacked because he cut a boy's hair on the day of the school photos.
Right.
It was deemed to be inappropriate to literally touch the boy's hair and to do the haircut.
So he was sacked
by the board.
The board and the principal,
At the time.
Who are now under a bit of pressure themselves, aren't they?
Because
there's been, a revolution, a backlash?
I would. Big protests, in fact. Mr. Brown has been there for about 30 years. He's much loved. Many people have spoken about him. A lot of people we know that went to Trinity Grammar.
This is a very good school, by the way.
Yeah.
It is. I've been out there and I've actually addressed the boys about the importance of being involved in theatre and the arts and how it's good to public speak and all that. And they're a cracking bunch. And I thought the teachers were excellent as well. It's all round. It's a good outfit.
I believe it is. But this is what's happening with schools today, and this will be right around the country, particularly private schools. Now, they're a business. They're running. And this is what you find is you get kids going through schools and they vie for your business. One of the things they want to do is attract your kid to the school based on academic results. And I think what's happening is there's a new wave of schools wanting high ATAR scores, which is around the country. They want to have the best marks so that they get the best kids. These fees are incredibly high. I think it's a bit of a new wave that they want to go with the school. And maybe the teachings and the older fashioned ways of teachers, who's almost like a Harry Potter character, this guy.
He's like the old...
People have told me. Old school, but warm, fuzzy... and caring of all the boys.
Got to go. That's what they're
saying. There's been other teachers that have left as well, yes.
Well, I heard there's been a broom through there. Is that a fair way?
That's what I heard as well. There's been a broom.
Describing it.
But now the issue is he cut a boy's hair. Now, there's another sideline to this. This is not uncommon on photo day now for letters to go to parents to say, listen, for boys, this is the rules. There's not many rules, but here's one of them. Your hair can't be past your collar. If the boy comes to school with hair past the collar, we'll send him home to get a haircut. Someone's going to cut it. Yeah. And that's what happened on the day. Okay. And apparently this guy's walked around with scissors before and he does a bit of a snip, snip, snip. And
it's a bit of a party trick, isn't it?
It's a bit of a laugh. He's been known to expect Brownie to come along and give you, give the chop. So this has blown up. They've had a big protest today. Hundreds of school students turn up today not in uniform, which is, that's very...
It's a fun analogy, isn't it? In America, they're protesting about being shot.
Yes.
17 of them shot. And
our boys are protesting
about a teacher cutting their hair.
That's right. But,
good on them. It's a voice. It is a voice.
And I like
they're allowed to do it.
I'm not sure they'll have much success when to overthrow a board at a school is pretty tough going these days, but we'll see. But we were chatting about it.
So it's a business now, is that what you're saying? Oh, definitely. They're running it like a Dickensian boarding house.
Well, it is. Don't you see all the ads now in magazines for...
They want better scores.
There's ads on radio for schools.
Does it go that far where they cull the weak kids?
Oh, yeah.
You take them out and whack them? You go, hey, kids, come with me. Go kick the footy. Bang, off the doors.
I'm pretty sure whacking is out since Dickensian days. But, not in your day, though.
Oh, mate, well, let's do this because this is times have changed. If a teacher can get expelled for cutting your hair, I'd love to have seen that in my day.
Well,
now, this is a chance.
Rocks,
what did a teacher ever do to you in your day? Give us a call, 1-3-3-5-3. I got punched in the face twice by different teachers.
Yeah, this is insane. I can't believe you got punched in the face.
I went to a very good boys' school.
That's outrageous.
Oh, well, they were both deserved.
Nothing. So what happened?
What
do you mean?
Well, nothing. It was business as usual.
What did your parents say?
My dad, as I said, this was the day when you got in trouble twice. You get in trouble at school, and when you went home and complained, you'd cop another one. They wouldn't march you back to school and go, what did you do to my son?
Yeah.
My dad would go, what did you do? Yep, right.
Fair
bang,
enough.
Here's another one for your trouble.
I imagine you would have been a provocative student. Is that correct?
I was big enough.
Can you imagine,
Dave? I was big enough. The one, Mr. McGarvin, he's my economics teacher, punched me off the back of the chair. And that was justified because he'd sustained it. Well, I'd call it a 6-month campaign.
Oh, my God.
No.
And Mr. Tyler pulled me backward off my chair by my hair. That was an interesting day.
Wow.
But that was my fault.
Right.
Because I was bouncing up and down outside his windows on a mini tram. And I had been doing it for some time.
How did all
And Mr. Burston also punched me in the face after an experiment we were doing on the bottom oval went bad.
But
apart from that,
wow.
I had nothing but good time.
But did his punches hurt?
Yeah. Well, they were a punch in the
so
face
it's a
from,
grown
a,
man
from an adult.
Hitting
yeah.
you. That's out of control.
It was a different time, Jane.
Oh, look, actually, it was a time.
Mr. McGovern came into me afterwards. He said, so are we good? And I said, well, I think so. I think we can let this one slip.
Standover tactics.
Well, no, I was just saying. I could
have. By you.
So that was all true. Did you ever get in trouble at school?
I did. Not often, but, I've been slapped by a nun.
Have you?
Beg your pardon? You've been slapped by a nun?
Open hand?
This sounds horny.
No.
Sounds like
only you could make me being hit by a nun sound horny.
What happened?
No, it was with a ruler, and I'm not going to say her name because she's passed away now.
Oh, you can't speak ill of the dead.
Sister C. No, not
the C word.
We never used that word when I was at school, but no, Sister C lined us all up because we did something. I think we burst out laughing when we were in church and chapel or something like that.
Yeah, that one coming.
Lined us all up and got the wooden ruler.
Yeah, the meter ruler?
Yes.
I used to get the meter ruler from Mr.
Whackety,
Boyd.
Whack, slap, 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 like this.
Wooshka.
Like this.
Again, I'm getting horny. And did you not, can I tell you this, did you say I went to her funeral?
I did say I went to her funeral.
Because you wanted
to
see her dad?
No, I said I went to her funeral. You can't say that. I said I went to her funeral.
Yes, and
just
to enjoy
to say
the experience.
My lovely farewells to her.
Did you?
Were you tapping on a coffin? Like
listen.
Hey, Dave, what about you? Did you?
Well, there was a guy at school, and I never saw it firsthand, but there was a rumour at school that this guy shoved a kid's head through a window, and he was named Mr. McKenzie, and he was just known as Mad Dog.
Mad Dog.
Oh, so, there's a hint that it might have been true.
Can you come to parent teacher night, please? Mad Dog would like to speak to you about your son.
And this guy walked around, every kid knew that was Mad Dog McKenzie. Don't go near him, or you'll fire up and shove your head through a window.
Right, we've got a few calls
Peter,
coming
let's have
through.
A quick one. It'll just set the tone. Peter,
yes.
What happened? What did you happen to you at school?
We allegedly ran the French teacher, Miss Fifi, out of class, and the replacement teacher came in, lined us all up, shoes off, hanging off the top of the blackboard, thumbtacks underneath, and the meter ruler across the back until we dropped.
Bang, the meter ruler. The meter ruler was a weapon in those days. I'm sure it had no place in the classroom apart from being brandished across my butt cheek.
Seriously, our children today have got nothing to complain about.
Wimps.
Honestly.
1-3-3-5-3. Give us a call and let us know.
We'll stand by for another caller.
I've had a look at the board.
Yeah, we've got a full board of calls.
These are full on.
Yeah.
Let's have a listen to some of the callers. Charlie.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, how are you going, Charlie?
What happened to you, Charlie?
Hi. I went to a Catholic school, up the one opposite where Eddie went to school, up there on the
right.
river.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
And, back in the early 70s, and the nuns were a bit draconian and quite old.
Mm-hmm.
And in our year was Form 1 back then.
Okay, what happened? Tell us what happened.
We had old Sister C, and she used to get very, very agitated and angry, and One day while we were doing some craft, she lost it with one of the girls and started stabbing her with the scissors in the arm.
Oh, dear.
Well, I mean, that was a standard practice.
Well, it wasn't standard. They did get a bit cranky, some of the nuns, and I got to say, well, she probably just had to say about 1,000 Hail Marys for that. That's a lot of confession.
Well, that's a lot of confession.
Yeah, but sometimes girls get a bit silly.
There's a nun stabbing a girl.
Yeah, that's
still
all right.
Finding that kind of erotic. Stop it,
you've got
everyone.
A nun thing going.
Danny!
Thanks, Charlie.
What did a teacher do to you back in the day?
Back in the day, I got the good, mate, private school education like yourself. And on school camp, being with a bit obnoxious, a bit like that guy behind Dermot Brereton. Got fair warning to stop, but I didn't. They threw me to the ground and gave me a nipple cripple.
Oh, a nipple cripple? This is... Oh, Danny, come on, that's mucking around.
Danny, you enjoyed that, though. Yeah, tell the truth.
That was on the Monday. I stopped crying by the Friday.
Oh, Danny, you got to harden up a bit, I reckon. What's wrong with a bit of a good old nipple cripple, I would say?
One of the worst things to happen on a school camp. I cut my thumb off on a school camp.
You what?
Ah, it's another story.
It's another story.
I'll tell you later.
Actually, I've considered your
scar. Ugh, that thumb could talk.
Your school story.
Can I tell you what it was?
Ridiculous.
Quickly, in a nutshell,
it was
a knife fight with a mate in my class.
Of course,
class.
It was.
Oh, is this when you're
fight.
In prep?
Well, we were mucking around. It was funny.
Oh yeah.
Good times at Mickey's school.
I'll tell you about that one day when you're ready, Lumpy. What did your teacher do to you?
Well, it wasn't me. It was my classmates, obviously.
Yep.
And I went to a college out there in Penrith, and the same guy, so the same teacher. And it was the same class. There was a kid playing up, and he drew whiskers on him with a permanent marker and made him sing the Snappy Tom commercial in front of the class.
That's great.
I like that.
And then there was another guy who didn't do his homework, and he put a sandwich board on him and made him skip around the oval. I didn't do my homework and made him skip around the oval while everybody else did.
You see, Lumpy, that's a good story because it's inventive yet not violent. Yeah. Well, I can condone
that's
that.
Right.
Just humiliating.
Parents would go berserk if you did that to one of their kids.
Oh, you couldn't touch a child with a texter now. Are you kidding?
What about sandwich board? Because that's something I think could be happening with friend Lenny in the near future.
Well, no, they might be allergic to wood. That's what'll happen
well,
today.
If they have, they'll work it out when the meter ruler goes across their bare butt cheeks.
Good one, Lumpy. Hello, Pee-wee.
What's happening with our show?
We've
gone from Lumpy
you?
To Pee-wee. Pee-wee, what happened?
Easy, Mick. It's my birthday today. Go easy. I'm a tiger, Mick. But
happy birthday, mate. How old?
Thanks, mate. I'd rather not say, but...
give Pee-wee a prize. What's Pee-wee's prize?
You've got yourself... I tell you, we go to the movies, Pee-wee. Gold class cinema voucher for you.
Oh, thanks, mate. My wife will love that. Thanks very much.
The last Pee-wee to go into a cinema on his own was arrested on charges. So you behave in there,
hey,
Pee-wee.
Tell us your story of woe.
Well, I was in grade one up in Hillsville, and I used to get walked home by one of my friends and his brother, was in grade six. Mm. Now, these grade six boys were a bit up to no good, and they started, I don't know why, but they started mashing bananas into people's readers, like kids' readers on the way home from school.
Gold. Yeah, that's annoying.
Gold.
Teachers found out about it. Of course, my mate and I got lumped into it. We got dragged up to the grade six room, and we're in grade one, bent over in front of the grade six class, whack on the bot with a meter ruler.
The bot with a meter ruler was the... It was almost the weapon of choice back in the day, wasn't it?
It was.
Maybe for boys, not for girls' schools. Well, we didn't have to bend over and have it on the bot.
Well,
we got it on the back of the
That's turning me on again.
Can you take this seriously,
I'm not taking
please.
This seriously. Ash, boot this home, mate. What did your teacher do to you?
Well, growing up in grade four in Dandenong, there was a smart-ass kid who thought he'd be, just after the local show, squirt some fart gas down the corridor.
Yep.
So my teacher, Mr. Malloy, made him sit in the corner of the room and emptied the whole can of fart gas while he had to sit there and stink it all up.
Well, emptied it on himself?
No, he emptied it on the kid.
The
kid had to sit in the corner of the room. And,
yeah,
he
fair
the whole
enough.
Hand on him.
Stupid kid.
Wow.
Yeah, no,
I like it.
I like
all right,
that one.
Good
Thanks,
stuff.
Ash.
He can have a prize too.
All right. I'll tell you what, Ash, you get your $100 fuel voucher coming your way. There you go.
We love it. I think we've got a taste of it.
I think we've been very counselling helpful to all these people.
Therapy.
Don't you think?
Good luck to the Trinity College kids with their
Trinity Grammar.
Trinity Grammar. Yes. Pardon me. And
for the Deputy Headmaster, Rowan Brown, we'll stand by and see what happens.
I hope this has a happy outcome for all concerned, and good luck and keep up the good fight.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, which is probably why the show's called Kennedy Malloy. That's Just my best guess.
Not too far away from Jet. I can see them outside just about ready to go.
Well,
so
we've
this
got
is very
Jet
exciting.
Here.
We
that's that one thing.
They've turned up. they've come to play as opposed to Fiona O'Loughlin.
Oh, no, it's not her fault, unfortunately. And we've got disappointing news.
It?
Well, I don't know. Look, we deal with, but there's one moment, really, that you've got to get it together, and that's when you've got the winner of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And we've planned to talk to Fiona a couple of times today.
So we're going
to
do a pre-record with Fiona, and then Ted
and they
said,
got the time wrong.
We've got the time wrong.
Not
we
us.
Can't do it.
We were here.
Now we're live on air, yeah. And they haven't delivered. In fact, and they haven't even got back to us.
And we know that people want to talk to Fiona. We understand they're in the jungle.
So the only thing Channel 10 have said to us is, please don't talk about Simone Hosselnagar.
we weren't even going to.
So they've told us what we can
don't
and can't
worry about
say in
it.
Our own interview, but then failed to deliver the interviewee. Well done,
right,
everybody.
So, well, what I guess we have to say
is... Are we still
going
to promote their show?
Well, the show's finished. It's funny about that when the show finishes. Yeah. But we do want to congratulate Fiona.
Who's a friend of ours.
She's a friend of ours. And genuinely, yesterday also, she was my pick to win, and I think she wins for the right reasons. Australia fell in love with her, and it was a really tough go for her in there.
Sure.
Despite her singing. I think she got overwhelmed.
She was singing. Yeah, this is my favourite bit, and I hope she listens back to this, because if you listen closely, you could see it had quite a good reaction throughout the jungle.
Wow. Quite the reaction.
Running for their lives.
Empty until you come to me.
Wow. Well done, Fiona.
Yep. Popular win. Congratulations. And
poor
I hope life
Shannon
goes
came
well
runner,
for you.
Shannon Noll runner up again.
All this. So good stuff. Okay.
All right.
Now.
Ready to do it?
We're ready to do this. We're ready to introduce our next guest.
15 years ago, this band was playing gigs in Melbourne pubs without a name.
What? They don't have a name? How odd together is this band?
But they decided on Jet.
I said, are you gonna be my girl?
Because it would look really big and bold on a poster. And then it was off to LA to record an amazing debut album.
Strange, this is Hollywood
Boulevard.
It was like being on school camp.
Just crazy adventure after crazy adventure.
Get Born would go platinum multiple times around the world, sweep the arias and top the charts everywhere. Here to celebrate the album's 15th anniversary and their upcoming Get Reborn tour, please welcome Jet.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and the boys
welcome
have had a big day. They've been down in AC/DC Lane playing live. We'll get to the bottom of that. Are you there, fellas? Can you hear us?
We're here.
Okay. Oh, wow. Thanks for swinging by. What are you going to play for us live from the studio today?
We're going to do a song called Move On.
Oh, yeah,
bang.
Great. Good on you guys. It's over to you. Here's Jet.
Well, been thinking about the future. Too young to pretend. Such a waste. I always look behind you. Should be looking straight ahead. Yeah, I'm gonna have to move on. Before we meet again. Yeah, the time you had for the scene. Attempted at 4 Flinders Street Station. Looking down the tracks, uniformed man, our skin and armor paid off. Why would I want to be there? Yeah, I'm gonna have to move on before we meet again. Yeah, the song you had a phone to sing. Take control. Don't be afraid of me. Yeah, well, it's hard. You had a phone to see.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the Triple M studios. Come on round, lads. I think we're going to speak to Chris and Mark from the band.
Yes.
Top shelf stuff.
Oh, how good.
Very popular edition out there with the listeners. Hello, boys. How
guys,
are you?
That sounded welcome awesome. Take a
Chris.
Seat.
Thank you very much, man.
Coming in.
Hands on.
Hey, welcome we aboard, boys. Thanks. Take a seat. What a big day for you. This is the launch of the Reborn, Get Reborn, 15th anniversary, and fantastic to have it up and running, and Triple M couldn't be prouder and happier to be a part of this. How are you going so far?
Great. Yeah, we did the AC/DC lane thing today. Which,
talk us through that. What did you do down there?
To be honest, when you do those things, you have no idea how they're going to work out. We know what's going to happen at a show. You know,
we're going to do.
Yeah, we put it on sale and people will buy tickets. But we go like do a pop-up show where you announce it in the morning and we're like, is anyone going to come?
Did anyone turn up?
I'm pretty sure a whole packed. Bunch of people turned up, guys.
We were definitely impressed.
It felt like it was 2003.
Because
like,
we were hanging around in the Cherry Bar in the daytime. The sun was up and we were at Cherry Bar.
That's awesome. And you guys have just fallen straight back into it, just playing together like that. Yeah. I can't believe it's 15 years since the release of Get This. That's neither. Just
how long since you got back into the studio together and started retooling the old stuff?
Like working on... Well, we did the Springsteen tour early in the year, which is kind of the catalyst for this... It's us getting back together. You know, if the boss calls, you go, okay. Yeah. Okay, well, I guess so.
I was up there at Tanging Rock and saw that. Yeah,
I saw you there.
Unbelievable.
Did you? Yes.
Well, in what state was he when you saw him there? This could be
very
dubious.
I don't know if he was doing breakfast radio at that time, but I didn't know if you were going to make it.
You'll notice
it was a genuine 50-50.
Yeah, I was like, we probably could get a ride with someone.
He's much happier in this shift, guys, the big 2 hours in the afternoon, I have to tell you.
I am indeed, and it's so happy to have you guys. It's Triple M DNA and you guys to have back. People have been so excited around the station, and we know you've been doing a whole heap of stuff with all our brekkie shows and stuff. So
exactly. Now, guys, we know that you're going to be travelling around the country. You've got tour dates starting in May and going to June. You're kicking off in Newcastle.
Newcastle. Yep.
Did you know that?
No, I had to look at your sheet there.
There you go.
I had no idea.
You are. It's Jets Get Reborn Tour. Tickets for all shows go on sale at 10 a.m. on Monday. And
Newcastle,
like info,
Enmore Theatre, Sydney. That'll be a cracker.
Be
that's
huge.
One of my favourite venues in Australia. The UC Refectory, Canberra. Good to see Canberra included. The Tivoli, Brisbane, Metro City, Perth, Theberton. Wow, that's a good, that's a big joint too. I love that. And Adelaide. And the Forum Theatre, Melbourne, which is one of my all-time favourite venues. You pick some good venues, boys.
Yeah. And you're going to pack these out. I think you're going to have to do this first and then you're going to go to bigger venues because I think you're absolutely, people are going to go nuts.
Yeah, I hope
come
so.
And see. Oh, no, they will.
Yeah, it feels awesome. Pretty good, you know. Like, we've just done a couple of things. We went, you know, the Springsteen thing. We did our two shows up in Sydney in February last year.
Yeah.
And really blew me away was how like young everybody. I'm like, you're looking in the crowd like you would have been four when
you would have been 12 when the record came out.
Oh, you're big in my eye. I've 15-year-olds who are like huge into you guys. So yeah,
it was great.
I was going to see Nick out through the window. 15 years ago, was that beard just starting? Actually, is that a 15-year process?
He wanted me to tell you about because you offered to babysit.
I did.
And he declined.
Oh yeah, he's had a little girl.
He said he's changed his mind.
Oh really?
It's been 6 weeks and he's ready. He's ready for you to take over now.
The baby's outside.
The baby's waiting downstairs.
I saw him eyeing off my chamber pot. I saw him eyeing off my chamber pot from through the window before. Wanted to know.
Hey, guys, we're really thrilled. Thank you so much for performing for us today. It was really, really special. Yeah, and good luck with everything.
Sounded brilliant.
Yeah, it sounded great. You'll
thank you. Welcome back.
Right, thank you very much.
Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Yep, and it is packed to the rafters, can I tell you that? Irish scammers have hit Brisbane, and I think they're heading Sydney's way.
Look out
for them and other scammers.
We will discuss. Peter Beattie's stuffed up a bit. He's the head of the NRL.
He's been busted.
He's been busted because he's not known all his clubs and who they are.
He hasn't done his homework.
Well, we've found a few other people that have not known their homework in the past.
Put them up on blocks and examine as well. We're going to have your calls and your tweets, and we're going to do a little bit of housekeeping. But let's start the hour with our very special guest.
Charlie Pickering has a low opinion of the news.
Good evening. I'm someone interesting enough to watch but boring enough to trust. Hello. And I don't have a female co-host because my network still doesn't think that women know stuff.
Which is why Charlie went on to spend 5 years hosting a news program called The Project, where mostly he just talked over Bob Catter.
I've got to tell you, if you're...
He left The Project for a burgeoning rap career.
They call me Steve Pink, I host a nightly show.
Just kidding. In fact, he left to host a successful ABC news show called The Weekly.
Trump can't be stopped. As we all know, there's no naughty corner in the Oval Office.
And the less successful New Year's fireworks.
The only time it's okay to kill a police officer, to kiss a police officer without asking.
Get the dump button ready. Please welcome Charlie Pickering.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to pop there. There is a roast to you. Charlie Pickering, welcome to Kennedy Malloy.
I am so excited to be here and thank you for playing. One of the genuine highlights of my career there. That was
a surprise
wonderful.
To all of us, that one.
Let's start there because I thought this is what always gets lost in the mix. I thought you did a cracking job and you were
absolutely.
A great choice for it. And it was clearly, how do we call that?
A slip of the tongue.
A slip of the tongue that was obvious to all, but it was enough for a few rascals in the press to hold on to and is beat up the phrase I'm searching
for?
Yeah,
I think I definitely think so. Definitely enough for a few quality death threats on the Facebook page. That's that was lovely.
Good times, really?
Good times, great rock and roll.
But Charlie, you're the perfect person to handle something like this, I imagine, because it's an industry that you've observed with great curiosity over the years.
The death threat industry.
the way things are misinterpreted.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, like, I just think if you think I was serious in that point, like you guys know, you know, when New Year's Eve highlights package, they always have a shot of someone pashing a policeman.
Absolutely,
that's all I was trying to make.
Or
a joke
putting
about.
Their caps on, which is the only time you're allowed to touch a policeman's hat.
That's right.
Ever,
well, I've done it enough
New
times in my life, pashed a policeman.
Yeah,
that's a strip of policemen.
Oh, sorry,
that is a strip of policemen.
But they all were very appreciative. But
and why did you take the gig? I'm interested to know because you're a busy man. You've got your own show, which is excellent, and I know you do. You like to get out and do live work. But why are you on New Year's Eve when everyone else is having fun? Why the hell would you?
You don't
put
seem
your hand
like a big party guy.
I did it because hosting that gig is career suicide, and that's entirely
why
what
would
I was
you do that?
Well, do you know what? I said no when I first got asked to do it.
Yep.
And then they told me that Jimmy Barnes was going to be playing. as part of the Countdown concert. And I said, I will absolutely do it because Jimmy Barnes is going to be there.
I did not know this.
That's
so
interesting.
From what age is this? Have you been? What's your devotion to Jimmy Barnes
about? It came from a very special time in my life when I was a struggling comedian. I quit my job in a law firm. I was making no money. I had to move back in with my parents, and I was delivering pizzas for a living.
It's a sobering window in your development.
And so I would listen to, there's one track in particular, I would listen to Flame Trees a lot.
Oh, it's a beautiful song.
And it's a song about a guy going back to the town where he grew up and nothing has changed except for the fact the woman he loves is not there and his heart is broken.
All right.
And I was back in the town I grew up in and nothing had changed except the fact that I was now delivering pizzas and it was very heartbreaking. It was a sad time for me.
It spoke to you.
Yeah, and I really connected to it, but there's something in particular. I actually brought some audio into play to you guys.
Oh, wonderful.
Right?
Lovely.
There's a particular reason why I love Flame Trees, and you may not be aware of this, and Triple M listeners, no one knows Barnsley better than Triple M
listeners.
Wow,
this is it. You are bringing coals to Newcastle today, my friend.
Well, what you would not be aware of is that there are three Jimmy Barneses that sing. All right. Now, the first one is... so you don't know this. There's three individual Jimmy Barnes. I'll talk you through them,
I'm
the first one is Jimmy Barnes, all right? He just has a slightly raspy voice, can really hold a tune. He sounds like this.
Okay.
Yeah, classic...
Classic Jimmy.
Classic Jimmy, right?
I love it.
Then there's Barnsley...
Right.
Who can scream melodically. All right, that's it. He's a different
guy.
An art. It's an art, and it's a different guy altogether.
Let's listen.
So he holds it.
I do.
Right? And the third Jimmy Barnes only exists in one line.
What?
In one song.
Okay.
In the entire Cold Chisel canon.
Where?
And it is James Dixon Barnes Esquire, who is a real person with real hopes, dreams, and emotions.
Right.
And his broken heart lies by the side of the road outside a town with some flame trees. All right?
Wow.
Now, he only exists in one song. I think it is the most Australian line in any song ever sung.
Mm.
Here, ladies and gentlemen, is James Dixon Barnes Esquire. Oh, something else.
Absolutely. You've nailed it.
And it's the most Aussie thing, it's the most Aussie male thing in the world. He comes this close to a real human emotion. and then he gets rid of it straight away.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
And
that's kind of what it is.
You had a lot of spare time riding around, driving around those pizzas.
I really did.
You
weren't delivering a lot of pizzas.
No.
What I will say, I was definitely disappointed that very few people, it's not like the movies. Very few people ask you into film pornography. It doesn't happen very often at all. Pizza delivery guy. I believe...
that's terrible.
Sorry, I wore the good undies. I wore the good undies for no reason.
Hey, will you stick around?
We want to talk about your festival show, by the way. Where is that? Let's get that straight out of the way.
Festival,
now, this is the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
The Melbourne Comedy Festival and that...
I'm at the Greek Centre.
You're at the Greek Centre, the Parthenon, and you can get tickets on comedy.com.au.
No pun in the title. I think that's quite popular at this time of year, isn't it?
15... Pretty, yeah, but I stay away from that. I didn't want to overpromise on the show.
How do you feel about filling that 59 consecutive minutes?
Nah, I'm all right. I'm looking good at the moment.
Good on you.
I got 45 locked and I'm just working on the last 14.
Thumbs
last
up.
14. Last 14.
You could always change the poster at the last minute. You could go and text her on it or something.
Type
45. 52 consecutive minutes and a bit of filler at the end. I've seen you live. It'll be a bloody good show.
Oh, yeah. You haven't done a comedy festival for a while, so this is a good return.
First new show for a while.
And why now? You're the busiest man in showbiz, but you've decided, do you just need to do it every so often?
Yeah, it's like a muscle. You lose it if you don't use it. But I've been really busy with TV and had a baby and stuff like that. And it was just harder to be out at night doing stand-up. But back into it now and just loving it.
Good stuff. I've cleared the decks. Have you two crossed paths at all?
Well, I just wanted to say something. If
we haven't
No, we have not patched. But I did have a story I wanted to tell because I've got to say, and I don't mean to be too emotional, but if 16-year-old Charlie Pickering knew that I was in a radio station with you guys right now, it would blow his freaking mind. But what I will say is when you guys were making The Late Show, you filmed at my school.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
And it was on a, and I'm not sure Mickey was there because right. it was early on a Saturday morning.
And, you'd be definitely right. He was not there. I'll vouch for that.
But the sketch, it was a sketch, it was about a school that only had one student and it was filmed at my school. And we were playing cricket on the Oval and you guys were filming next door.
Yes.
And word spread when we were there doing our fielding warm-ups and everything and word spread that you guys were filming there and we slowly just all drifted over and watched the filming.
I think I do recall that. Bit of stalkering for some Brighton grammar boys.
And that's right. And I have to say that to a team of 16-year-old boys, Jane Kennedy, you were very popular.
Really? Did she hold up all right?
You were, it was a topic of conversation.
Oh, whoa. Sorry.
And I also have to say, that I got my highest score batting for that season.
Oh, wow.
And I got a 50. It was great.
I don't want to hear what else you got.
And I just want to say, I give you credit for that. Well, I think it was less about me and more about your inspiration.
Well, I'm glad that we had some small influence on your little career there you've got going, Charlie.
I'm not sure being a inspiration to a bunch of 16-year-old players is necessarily
we had pretty high standards.
Thanks.
Very high standards at Prime Grammar.
Charlie, we're thrilled to have you in, and congratulations too on being a dad.
Thank you very
much. How's that all going? I'm throwing my hand up as a babysitter if anything ever transpires. If you're
out
of town,
I'm good. Yeah. Totally good.
He's all right.
I got it. Got it covered.
I'm pretty insistent about it.
Totally down. Nah, it's good. Let's just keep it, mates.
You know what? I was working out. He's just answered my question, which is why would you take up stand up now when you're the busiest man anyway? To get
newborn baby at home.
It's still better to be on stage and dancing like the devil in front of 100 strangers or 1,000 strangers.
We're on to you, Pickering.
I
think you've seen right through me. I think you really have.
Hey, mate, congratulations on everything. It's enjoyable to watch you on the telly and live. We'll come along and see this show, which, of course, is at the Greek Centre Parthenon.
Go see it, comedy.com.au if you want tickets. That's during the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
You're most welcome.
Really appreciate it.
You can go and pash Jane if you
want.
Well,
we don't need to pash.
Hey, come on.
We'll have a hug.
Let's not make this a harassment. Let's not get called into HR.
Thank you.
I was just trying to tell a nice story about my childhood
and
how much I looked up to both of you.
Yeah,
and you made me want to have a career in comedy.
That often.
Yeah. You've ruined the moment, Mickey.
Yeah, come on. Never. We'll get over it.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
I want to send out a warning to our Queensland listeners and indeed our Sydney listeners as they may be on the move about the Irish scammers.
That's not a new band, by the way.
No, they are the scourge of Australia and they are going to ground after being exposed. I saw a current affair the other night and I saw now apparently what the women do is they go to restaurants and bars and then they'll take something like a bit of glass and they'll knock up a bill of $250 and at the end they will blow up. What is going on? I've just found this in my... They'll go loud, so you just want to quiet them down. You eventually give them... What they want is not to pay for their meal, and they do it.
Oh, my God.
The same group of women have been seen at about 5 different venues.
Doing the same trick.
The same thing, and it's believed now they're on their way to Sydney. While they're doing that, the gentlemen...
Are
out scamming homeowners. So
an elderly man lost more than $25,000. Oh my God, this poor man. He handed over $25,000 when he paid men to repair his roof.
Yeah,
they never finished the job.
And he never finished the job. And this is often what happens. In some instances, they'll say, "Do you want to do the job today? You need to get money." And even when people said, "I don't have the cash," they've driven elderly ladies down to the bank to get their money and take it back. So. They are, without doubt, scammers. Be on the alert. It's not a new thing. We've all been scammed or we've been privy to scams.
Unfortunately, yes.
Have you been scammed?
Oh, well, I know. My parents did have roof guys come. And
did
I won't tell you what my father calls them. So we were Kennedy, Irish. The Irish come to the door and he's, to be sure. And he's like, "Oh, these lads are excellent, aren't they?" And they did I think it was, quite a few grand. And I think they might have said they'll fix something. They never came back. And
it's terrible. When I was in London, I was staying there. I was hanging out with one of the greatest scammers of all time.
Really?
He was a rag trader from Birmingham, and I called him the Black Arthur Daly. He was a black man, and he Arthur Daly from Minder,
yes.
Who was, you know, the high watermark of scammers.
Correct.
Yeah. And this guy was brilliant, and I just used, because I was hanging out with him, I was just astonished on a daily basis of what I'm up to. Typical day. So we're over there at Christmas. We go up to Birmingham. I watch him buy a coat out the back of a truck, okay? This is for his wife for Christmas.
Yep.
He goes home. We pull up out the front of, well, what's the big store? Harrods. Pulls yep. up out the front of Harrods. We go in. He slips £20 to the girl who wraps the presents at Harrods. He gets the coat that I've seen, that I've just seen him buy off the back of a truck. He gets it wrapped in Harrods. I'm staying with them. I get up the next morning. I see the Harrods wrapping on the tree.
Oh,
I watch his wife lose it.
Because she's so excited. So it's excited. From Harrods.
Wrap it open, burst into tears and give him a hug. I felt like an accessory after the facts. Just so you're aware, the credentials of this man, he actually did some time for walking out the front of one of their galleries with the Laughing Cavalier under one arm. The Laughing Cavalier is one of the most famous paintings. And at the time I was living with him, they were trying to extradite him to Germany for jewellery fraud. And what he did, and I point out, all his crimes were victimless.
They weren't violent.
His wife would have got violent. She found out. But he dressed up as an Arab and got them to open up a jewellery store after hours for him. And he went in and he had copies of all the pieces of jewellery up his sleeve. And
he didn't do a switcheroo.
He did the switcheroo after dark, after they'd opened it for him. And when we were there, they were still trying to...
Gosh, you've got parts of your life unaware of.
He's a good bloke.
You still keep in touch?
I do keep in touch.
Well, in fact, we got him on the line now.
No, he'd be here. He's working on your roof as we speak. Have you been scammed, Dave? Are you?
Nothing like that. I used to work at Myers years ago, and I always thought the big scam was the hypercolour T-shirts. We used to remember those? Yeah, they'd change colours heat and all.
Depending on mood,
these things would last a day, but we'd sell them like off the racks, get the hair dryers out to get the heat on them, and then they'd be walking out the door.
So you were involved. You were the scammer.
I was the scammer, and I felt horrible about it because they were useless. They were no good.
That's a funny thing to be scamming for.
I sold cladding, aluminium cladding.
Again, you surprised me, Mick Malloy. That is ridiculous. What?
Well, this is when I was a struggling artist and I had no money and I had to work in a call centre. I was working in a call centre trying to sell. I know you've done time. You know how terrible these sweatshops are.
Yep.
I used to have to try and sell cladding to elderly people living out in West, let's call it the western suburbs of any town.
Yep.
And it got to the point where I would leave. I'd actually go out and pretend to be taking photographs of people's houses with no film in the camera until they came out and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, we're just doing a home beautiful cover and we're looking for the perfect house to go on the cover."
Yeah. It needed a bit of a rejig if only it had some new cladding.
I mean, obviously, we'd do a cut a good deal for anyone. Your house is perfect because it's on the corner and it's just, I don't know.
Are Minder. Shocking.
I don't regret it. I did what I had to do.
Oh, you did?
I'm still
to get where you are today?
Right now.
Hang on, you haven't scammed me lately, have you?
Well.
Hey, have you been scammed? Give us a call.
This is it. Have you been the victim of a scam? Have you perpetrated a cruel scam on someone?
You can use an alias.
It's the topic du jour. Give us a call. 133-53, people.
Yeah, that is it. Have you been scammed? What's the best scam you've heard?
John.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Unfortunately, you've got a scamming story.
I do. It actually involves my mum rather than me. I was only about 12 years old at the time.
Yeah. Yep.
Came from a rather large family, so we had a couple of computers in the house, and as you'd imagine, quite a number of viruses because most of us were illiterate on computers.
Yeah.
Mum meets this guy. He's sort of fits the stereotype of what you'd consider an IT nerd. He's got the comb over, he's got the glasses, and he's got the tech speak up and running.
The old Bill Gates look, I call it.
Yeah, a little bit bigger than Bill Gates, but he comes in and he basically says, "Yep, I can fix this all. I'll hook you up with USB sticks, with the top of the line computers you can take. Come in for 20 minutes, fixed one issue, took $8,000 and left."
What? He got $8,000 out of a bank account or what?
Mum said, yep, he charged us $8,000.
He charged $8,000?
I thought you were going to say he nicked all the details off your computers and then slowly milked you.
And did she write a check for him or something?
Yeah, yeah, she's written him a check, and he goes, yep, no worries, I'll see you guys in a week, and flip, off he went. Nobody knew he'd
take an Irish accent.
Oh, John, that's terrible. We got a prize for John and his mum.
For his mum.
Kennedy Malloy prize pack coming your way.
Good luck with
that's
that.
That's what she needs.
You've just been scammed again.
Speaking of scams.
Daniel, have you been scammed? What happened?
G'day, guys, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Back when I was 20, so about 9 years ago, I travelled around Europe with one of my good friends.
Yep.
And we were in our second country in Italy, in Rome. Took some money out, and then the next day went to take some more money out, and I said, it's just a phone.
So all the money was gone. Why? How?
Yeah, so that was pretty strange, so I thought I must have done something wrong. I went back to my hotel, looked at my transactions, and someone the day before,
I scanned your card, done the old, that's a huge problem, actually.
Yeah.
Do you know what? They've got those things. Have you seen them advertised on late night TV, which you put next to your credit cards thing and it stops it
from being done. I've had that done.
Although that ad has a whiff of scam about it.
Exactly. No, I know what you're talking about there. Thanks, Daniel.
Talise is on the line. What was the scam, Talise?
So my mum was a little bit of a scammer, and she was a fan of a popular fast food restaurant.
Yep.
And every couple of months, say every 2 months, she'd ring up and tell them they got her order wrong, and she made a huge fuss, said she wanted a whole new family meal, and they'd give it to her every 2 months.
Really? Talise, yes. It's not something really that you want to, like, promote in your family, is it?
For special occasions. Special occasions of... Well, it's time to bung it on a bit.
Well, she was being inventive. She had a family to feed, so I suppose. We won't give you a prize for that one, Talise, but maybe
My dad was pretty good at scares. He got me into the Great Moscow Circus, and he said, because they'd sold out of tickets, he said, just grab onto the back of that woman's coat, and they had a big wood coat. And I was a kid. Had walked in like I was on
you were in with someone else.
That's unreal.
John Clark told me a beauty. It was a guy who was trying to get from New Zealand to Melbourne for a rugby union clash.
Yeah.
And he had no ticket. He had no airfare. So he had to go via to get to Melbourne. It was all booked out coming from New Zealand. So he had to go via Fiji or somewhere and get back in to Melbourne.
That way around.
So he's coming to Melbourne and he's got no ticket to the game. It's been sold out. And as he's out the front, he sees a guy in a wheelchair and he just pops on the back of it and wheels him in. As they go through, he's wheeled the guy, and because he doesn't even need to wheel him because it's an electric wheelchair. I'm not even sure the guy's aware he's there. And he goes straight out onto the ground where they have...
Looking like a carer.
This is a Bledisloe Cup match. Yeah. And so they go out there and now sitting on the sidelines beside the
guys.
And he's got no ticket.
Quite clever.
That's a good scam.
Yeah, it is. All right, Jake's up.
Jake.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. What's the scam?
This is actually happening now in sort of the Waverley area. There's two plumby blokes going around pruning trees.
Yeah.
And they got me best mate's father. He's well in his 80s. Yeah. They've said, oh, we can paint the roof. So he's given them $8,000.
Oh, no.
Yeah, as this is going on now. So he's gone up the bank because they actually wanted $18,000.
Oh, dear.
You're kidding.
So he's gone up the bank. The bank lady saying, goodness, has said, no, you're getting scammed. He's gone back home, and the blokes have done the runner. So
they've done the runner.
The blokes have done the runner.
And he's down $8,000.
Yeah, and they threw the trees over the fence into a park.
Oh my God, man. What's wrong with people? This is disgusting.
I hope there is.
Like I said, this is going on now.
All right.
Well, you're being warned. What area is that, Jake? Tell us again.
Is that in Victoria?
The
Waverley in Victoria. Okay, you've been warned. Don't go handing out cash. One more. Hassan, how are you, buddy?
Good day, Mickey. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. What was the scam?
All right, it's not me, my friend. He actually, remember when the iPhone 6 was coming out?
Yes.
Big hype was everything there. Sure. So he went to an Indian website where they were offering $1,000 phone for $700.
Yes.
He paid them the delivery. He came over. He opened up the package. Two beautiful bricks in them.
Oh, no.
Two bricks in a box.
Two bricks in a box.
Was it the iBrick 6? Is it a good brick?
What was it? Well, I don't know. He paid for quite a lot. We could have got the bricks for much cheaper.
Terrible.
Give Hassan a prize there.
Thanks, Hassan.
Kennedy Malloy prize pack coming for you.
We're sorry for all those people.
Thank you, guys.
It's a bag with two bricks in it. So act like you like it when you get it. There you go.
Be on guard for dickhead scammers. Well, it's shocking.
You can talk.
Me? What have I done?
I know what.
I beg your pardon. Don't you dare.
All right.
Do not implant.
Go to the break.
All right, okay.
What?
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
It is indeed the drive home. Jane Kennedy McMalloy.
You are terrible. You're going to get caught out one day. I will do it.
I'll tell you who got caught out.
Who?
Peter Beattie.
Peter Beattie, you got busted, my friend.
He did get busted.
Explain.
Because he's the new ARL Commission Chairman, and he had a little bit of a rocky start when he was alongside Phil Gould on television on Monday night.
Yeah.
This is one of the embarrassing blunders. Like when you are going for this type of job in sports, you kind of want to get your shit together. Well,
there's a few things you need to know because you need people to believe in you.
Well,
you need
your bona fides. And you've got to be, you know, a practitioner in my view of what you're about to do.
You can't be parachuted into a job like this, and you need to do your homework. Now, we're going to play you a grab that was from the Today Show this morning, which I believe includes the clip from Peter Beattie.
Okay.
Have a listen.
New ARL Commissioner Peter Beattie might have his eye on expanding the NRL, but the former Queensland Premier might need to do some homework on the teams currently competing. Beattie failing to learn from his predecessor's mistakes after John Grant infamously referred to the Cronulla Sharks as the Hawks and Manly as the Seagulls. Oh.
The team that plays out of the Sutherland Shire. Is it the Cronulla Hawks, the Cronulla Seagulls, or the Cronulla Sharks?
Now, I've got to be honest, I wouldn't have a bloody clue, but I'll know next week.
Oh, no. Bang, you are busted. That's not good.
But I'm fascinated to know why they even ask him. So they must have known that he was a little bit shady on the night in the first place to put the guy under the pump like that.
I reckon they're pretty confident he hasn't crossed his T's and dotted his I's.
Hey,
there's nothing I love more than when someone is out of their depth or new to the job and gets busted.
It's excruciatingly delicious.
And people are good at setting them up. Here's Republican President candidate Rick Perry setting himself up. This was in the middle of a debate. And remember, Trump beat this guy, and you'll find out why. I remember this live. I was watching it, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
It's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
You can't name the third one?
The third agency of government, yeah. I would do away with the education, commerce, and let's see. Oh my. I can't. The third one, I can't. Sorry.
No.
Oops.
Please explain.
Oops.
That is, and that's lucky that wasn't a big stage.
I love it. So have you got more?
You've got one you brought to the table.
Oh, yeah, look, I would like to bring this one along. This is our own Prime Minister trying to weasel his way out of not knowing an AC/DC song. Can we have a listen to this?
Have you got a favourite AC/DC song? We've been doing a lot of reflecting this morning.
Well, tell me, what's your favourite AC/DC song?
Long Way to the Top for me.
Yeah, Long Way to the Top.
Highway to Hell. Well, I just keep reeling them off.
Run through a few more.
You can't say that. Come on.
No, it's good.
Got time for another one?
No, I don't think we've got to go to
a break. Oh, are we? Oh,
we'll go on that one.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.